From in the beginning to the musical apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host with a cold, Mike Wiseman. Yahweh is either in control or he's not. He either makes people sick or he allows them to become sick. He either wants it to happen, doesn't care that it's happening, or he's powerless to stop it. Either way, why would anyone want to worship such a being? Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with?
A divine blast.
I actually enjoyed arguing with you and stuff.
God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Are you reading a different Bible?
No.
You worship him because of the things he's done. Why can I not judge him because of the things he's done?
Obey me or I'll kill your kids. It doesn't seem really holy to me.
Well, that's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a tough life.
Today's special guest is author, speaker, cancer survivor, model, student at Harvard, and she's on the board of two nonprofits. Welcome to the show, Christine Handy. Thanks for coming on, hey. Christine.
Thank you.
It's a lot there. It's quite a title.
I'm sure there's more you can add to that, but we'll start with that.
Gotcha. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the nonprofits, and then I kind of want to talk a little bit about your book.
Okay. The nonprofits are, I am on the board of eBeauty. It's a wig exchange program. And so when I was going through breast cancer treatments, I was able to afford a wig or a couple. Many women going through treatment of any cancer cannot afford a wig. So we have partnered with L'Oreal, and L'Oreal gives us grant money. And we've also partnered with Paul Mitchell Salons, and they wash and style our wigs. So L'Oreal gives us the grant money to ship these out because it's about $20 per wig. Paul Mitchell Salons has their estheticians wash and style our wigs, and then we ship them out from there. And we have redistributed over 60,000 wigs to people who cannot afford them.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
Nice job.
And most of the wigs we get are donations.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Super cool. What was the second one?
And the second one is called People of Purpose. It's an organization. I speak in the prison system in the state of Florida. And a prisoner, when he got out of jail, he contacted me on social media. And that was about 4 years ago. And since then, he and I have started this organization. It's a nonprofit that we're basically changing the rate of recidivism in Palm Beach County. So we're basically trying to equip these guys when they're coming out. They're called RCs, which is a returning citizen. We're trying to equip them with, you know, skills to go back into the job force.
Amazing.
Love it. I love it.
How do you have time for anything?
I don't. I like I said, I'm either working or sleeping. And when I'm not sleeping, I'm working.
Well, that wig thing is really cool. That wig thing is pretty cool. Congrats on that. I commend. That's pretty cool. So about your book, Walk Beside Me. Let's dive into the whole fun part here now. why did you write the book? Go ahead.
So when I lived a very privileged life up until, privileged financial and opportunities and things like that. I was a model. So I had this from the outside, a very perfect life. And I started to get sick. I had a very serious surgery when I was 35 that didn't go so well. And then at 41, I developed a torn ligament in my right wrist, which months and months later turned into a fused arm, became handicapped from it. And then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I went from being this like thriving mother, model, wife, self-proclaimed athlete, to this sickly woman needing constant care and attention. And I looked around at myself and I was like, how did I get here? And it was then that I had to really reevaluate who I was, because all the external facade was taken away. So I had to look deep inside and do a lot of introspection and figure out who that was inside. And through a lot of friendships and a lot of faith and pouring into my faith, I realized that this value on the outside meant nothing. It was the inside that mattered. And my measure went from measuring my life, my success, my value from society and what I look like to measuring it from God. And so then I completely changed my life. And that's what I wrote my book about. I wrote my book about the person. It's a fictional depiction of my life. So it was the person, you know, pre-illnesses to the person who had built a home, you know, in the sick world. I had no choice. I had to build a home in the sick world. And to the person that built her life after the sick world. And so that's kind of what my book is about.
Amazing. Your struggle, I can't even imagine what you went through. I mean, I'm sure cancer will hit me at some point in my life, but of yet, we're good. but I can't even imagine the struggle you went through with all that. You talked about, I watched a talk you did a little bit, and you had good friends that helped you along the way. And that is really amazing. Let's talk about them a little bit.
Yeah. So I call them my earthly angels. And the reason I do that is because, you know, a lot of us are lucky enough to have faith in God. And when we have faith in God, we have to know that he sends people out there to help us. And so these women really cared for me for months and seasons after season of illness, right? It wasn't just one season.
Yeah.
And that's not easy, right? Because I think for me, I used to think, oh, well, the world is transactional. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. So when I was sick, season after season after season, I wasn't giving right to anybody. I was having to accept help, which is also hard from a pride and ego standpoint.
For sure.
But so when they were helping me, they were like, we're the hands and the feet of the Lord. And when we get done and you are healthy, then you go off and be that for other people. So that's kind of what I try to do now. I try to serve all the time with my wisdom.
Okay. Lots there to unpack. Thank you. First off, thank you. Appreciate that. You said God sends people to help you.
I believe now, that.
And so would these people not have helped you if God didn't send them?
I wouldn't have recognized it because I was so in the life that I was living. Those were the same friends I had. These were not new people, but these were the people that I had chosen years ago. Thankfully, they were strong, faithful women. And so when I was at my worst and really plotting, like, I'm not going to help myself. I'm going to die of cancer. They were there saying, no, we will never forsake you. God will never forsake you. And these are the reasons why they backed it up with scripture. I mean, one day I was coming in from chemotherapy and I had my mother on one side of me carrying me in and my father on the other side carrying me in. I was so sick. And a friend had come over that day to my house and she put scriptures up all over my house. So on mirrors, in bathrooms, in drawers, in my children's rooms, in the kitchen. And so everywhere I looked, instead of looking at the designer clothes or the designer bags, I was looking at scriptures and I was retraining my brain to have my measure based on that, not on this worldly stuff.
More encouraging words, would you say?
Life-giving words, you know, faith is life-giving. For me, I was looking around and I had built my life on sand. The things that I put my measure on, my looks, my beauty, my modeling career, my stuff, all of that was fleeting and gone. I mean, it could be taken away like that.
Well, of course, yeah. Life is.
It was. But that
roller coaster for sure.
But it shocked me. I couldn't believe it was taken away from me. And so what did I have at the end of the day? For me, I had my faith. That was a sure thing for me.
So who do you think took that away from you?
I don't think God took it away from me. It was my choice. Like we all have, you know, choices. Okay. Yeah. I built my life on sand. I built my life on being measured by society. I built on accolades coming from the outside. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't have enough self-esteem. I didn't have that faith in myself. I didn't have faith in God to do it for me. Like I didn't believe in myself. And so I didn't really pick up the Bible and go, oh, but in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ. I would look at that and be like, what does that really mean? And then when I was going through chemotherapy, I was like, okay, I repeated that verse. I can do all things Christ. And that gave me courage.
Yeah.
Well, that gave me a foundation. The foundation I built my life on went away.
So do you think God was punishing you because you were being less in faith and more in the world? Or do you think God allowed Satan to get involved in this and he gave it to you? How do you think that happened?
Well, I love the book of Job.
Go ahead.
Because God did allow Satan to really strip Job of everything.
Yeah, he said for no reason, Job 2:3, I let you do this to ruin a man without any reason. Because why did it happen? Why did Yahweh let Satan attack Job's family and his life? What? Because
I mean, I'm not a preacher, but I think it was so that he could rebuild him, because Satan can only go so far, right?
So
I mean, please. No,
sorry. Unfortunately, the story is it goes Yahweh's in heaven, then all the angels come to him, and then the adversary, which you know we give the name Satan. Of Satan at that point, comes in and he says, "Hey." Or Yahweh says, "Hey, Satan, have you seen Job? This guy, he really loves me, really loves me. There's nothing that you can do that'll make him unlove me." And Satan says, "Oh, yeah, let me at him, and then he won't love you." And at that point, Yahweh doesn't know if Job is going to be loyal to him. He takes a bet from Satan. That's a terrible, don't do that, man. And then he allows Satan to kill Job's family, his kids, his servants, his livestock, like on purpose. And then he, and again, in Job 2:3, he says, "Holy cow, man, you enticed me to ruin this man without any reason." So for me, and then at the end of it, he says, "Where were you when I was creating the world?" It's such, I don't see how it is a good thing to his kids. He lost his kids. Those kids had no choice. Yahweh said, "Okay, go ahead, kill those kids." And they never had another life. Job may have had another wife or another kids afterwards, but those kids are dead. Those kids with their lives, their hopes, their dreams, their thoughts, their biases, everything gone, because Yahweh failed to know if Job was going to be loyal to him at the end. So I don't think Job's a great one, but go ahead.
But he was loyal to him.
Right. And Yahweh knew that was going to happen regardless. So the kids died pointlessly, I think.
I know. I totally get what you're saying. And this is completely fallen world. And why is there cancer? Why is there all this trauma? Why is there suffering? I can't make sense of it. Like, I'm in constant pain every single day since 2011, when that doctor destroyed my arm. I've not had one day of pain, and I will ask God, "Why can't you take this from me?" But I have to believe that his grace is good enough every day, or I'd lose my mind.
Yeah. Well, so it's tough for sure.
And if I go to the answers of this world, then I'd be on pain medication, right? So I'm either going to trust God's grace, or I'm going to be on pain medication because I can't get out of pain. Which am I going to choose? Those are my options.
Yeah, well, there's lots of options for sure. So do you think God's in control of the world right now?
God, that's a good question. I do. I think he always is.
So he's in total control.
I think so.
So he could stop your pain if he wanted to.
I think so.
Do you believe he's done it for others?
I do.
So why not you?
I don't know.
I don't know. I love that answer. Thank you.
No, but it's an honest answer. But I'm very convicted. I truly believe that. I believe that tomorrow I could wake up with no pain because God takes it away.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that God leaves it, and I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have that answer, but my faith is unflappable. I may not have all the answers, but nobody can shake my faith. It's the only sure thing I have in my life after I've witnessed so much pain and suffering, not just in my own life, but other people. And I mentor a lot of other cancer patients and prisoners and people. Hmm. And I don't understand all of it. And I certainly don't understand, you know, kids and death and things like that.
Yeah.
But I truly believe in the word, the Bible, and what God says.
So let's go with faith. What is faith to you? We go in Hebrews 1:11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Is that the kind of thing you go forward, or you add, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, my faith is a belief in God, in a higher power. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us, to save our sins, to wipe away sin. That's what I believe. Uh-huh. I would be considered a Christian. I do believe that God, I do believe in prayer. I do believe in, so faith to me is prayer, is my belief in God, is my belief in Jesus, is my belief in the Holy Spirit. I believe that I would not be here today without my faith in God, because I mean, for many reasons, I either would have died of cancer, or I would have died of my own, like taking my own life, because it would have made me crazy, all the trauma. I had to jump into the faith, or I would not have ever survived. So it's got a stronghold on me, and it's the only stronghold that I've ever had in my life that makes sense.
So what it sounds like to me, and I don't want to use the word crutch, but more of a cushion. It was more of a softening for you to help you get through it. More of a, I don't even know, like a lifeline, like a someone holding your hand type thing through it. Is that what it was for you?
Definitely a lifeline. Yeah.
A lifeline. Okay. So it was, and which parts were it? Were the parts where it says that, you know, mainly Jesus loves you, or was it the parts where Jesus can heal people? You can be healed through all of this. What kind of?
Do not fear is in the Bible 365 times. That's not a coincidence. I think that every single day that I woke up in fear, I would say, okay, do not fear is in the Bible 365 times. That's 365 days a year. Do not fear today. So I meditate on that, right?
Yeah.
Or I would say to myself in very difficult situations, I would say, do not fear, for I am your God. I am with you. And I would say, you know, don't worry, you know, let God, instead of letting me control the situation or letting my thoughts like go out of control, I would stop them. I'd take them captive.
Get lost in your own thoughts. That's for sure. It's a scary place sometimes.
it's easy to do that. And so I would meditate on certain verses that my friends would send me and I would just say, okay, I'm, you know, God goes before me. God goes next to me. God goes from behind me, and I'm covered in faith.
The prayer part. So I'm going to go back to your wrist. I apologize.
Yeah.
None of this means any offense. I'm just very curious. The pain in your wrist.
Yeah.
Have you asked Yahweh to take that away? And have you had faith healers come around? What have you done?
I've asked. But I've also said, if it's not your will, then show me a way to use it to help other people. I have not had faith healers come help me. I've had many, many people pray for me so that the pain would be gone, and it's still here. So I have to have another surgery coming up too. So
good luck with that. That was never fun. So again, I'm just going back to the whole punishment thing. I mean, Yahweh has punished people in the past for egotistical reasons. Nebuchadnezzar, he turned him into some weird bird animal thingamajigger for a little bit, just to teach him a lesson. So do you think that's maybe what's going on? Is you're being taught a lesson through your pain?
And
why would we teach people lessons through pain? I mean, that again, it doesn't really...
Yeah, makes sense. No, I don't think...
like a good thing.
I don't think that. I mean, I think that God prunes us. But I don't think he inflicted the cancer on me. I think that we all have free will, right? And so the doctor that did this to my arm, he thought he was a God, and his pride and his ego got in the way. Because when I told him that the pain and the swelling in my arm was grotesque, he told me the pain and the swelling in my arm was in my head, because he knew I had an infection and he tried to cover it up.
Oh, wow.
And so for months that man was bullying me. He thought he got away with it, right? I mean, because he thought, you know, he it was a pride issue for him.
Yeah.
He wanted to, repair the ligament in my arm, and he sent me on my way. Unfortunately, when he was repairing the ligament in my arm, I got an infection, but he didn't want to deal with it because he thought he was God, right? I'm the best surgeon. I'm the best. Blah, blah, blah. That's pride, but that's a free.
Sounds like a lot of doctors I know.
But that's But that's free will. And so did God correct me? No. This guy thought he was a God. He had a false idol himself, like, right? His false idol was himself. And that ended up hurting me.
Confidence, yeah. God. His confidence, for sure.
But vengeance is not ours, it's God's. So I have no unforgiveness of that doctor, because I don't want that man to control me. God will take care of that.
Wouldn't it have been better if Yahweh stepped in and said, hey, don't go to that guy, go to this guy? Or, you know, led you on again, a path to a different doctor, then you wouldn't be paying your whole life.
Again, it goes back to free will. I saw three different doctors. I chose that guy again. And I think because of pride, because I was like, oh, he's the Dallas Stars doctor.
Well, that's common sense. Let's go with the one that's got the five stars as opposed to the, right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he had five stars. I actually never even looked on Yelp or whatever. I just went with him because But he was like he was in the best clinic. What is the best clinic? Don't we always hear that about doctors? Well, this doctor's the best. How do you define best?
Success rate. That's how you define best. As far as I'm concerned.
I defined best by money. He was in the nicest area of town. He was in the nicest clinic. He was in the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's bad judgment. Bad judgment on your part there. I don't know. Judging by money. Success rate is definitely something I would, you know, judge by. And when I look at the success rate of things as prayer, I don't see enough of a success rate there to believe that it works. And then when you really deep dive into it, Yahweh knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's going to happen. He knows if you go to that doctor, your hand's going to get messed up. He knows all these things. And yet you have to ask him for things. Well, if I'm in pain, I'm going to ask Yahweh to take away that pain. But Yahweh already knows you're in pain. So why do you have to ask him? Shouldn't he? If my kids were in pain, I see it from across the room. I'll get him an ice pack or a Band-Aid, you know, something, a popsicle. I mean, but Yahweh, you know, he sees it and he waits for you to ask him. Nope, they haven't asked me yet. And then sometimes you ask and you ask, you still got to beg for forever. It's like my kid asking for a Band-Aid. Can I please have a Band-Aid? I'm bleeding out here. Can I please have a Band-Aid, Dad? And I just ignore him until like later on. But it's just so weird to me. The whole concept just doesn't add up.
You know a lot about the Bible.
Well, you grew up in it, the church, so you know.
Do you believe in God?
I do not. I don't believe in any of them. There's lots of different ones. Even Yahweh was a different God at one point. He's kind of a borrowed figure, doing a lot of research into that lately, Yahwism and whatnot, and where he originated from. A lot of cool stuff, a lot of interesting things. I'm by no means a historian or scholar, but you know, I do like to dive into it from time to time.
Good for you. Yeah, knowledge is power.
Well, it's fun. I love it. I just wish I could retain more of it.
Yeah, me too.
But if, as far as no offense again, the failure rate of prayer, even in your own life, I mean, how can you believe it's a thing that works?
I do believe it works.
But like how? Like why? I mean, we know, both of us know it, there's a failure rate to it. You have in your own life seen that failure rate, or not yet, you know, it hasn't happened yet, but it's failed up until.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, I'm here. I'm still alive. Yeah. I went through a lot of chemotherapy. There was many times I wasn't sure I was going to wake up the next morning, but I think that I have a testimony. I have a story that inspires other people. And I think that's kind of why I'm here.
I think you're a very strong person to have survived all that. And I commend you. That was amazing. 100%. And I think it's unjustifiable to give it away, give that glory to somebody else, especially somebody who, where was he when all this was going on? He wasn't actually physically there. He sent people. He had to send your friends, supposedly sent your friends. Why wasn't he there? He loves you the most. He's like, you know, the father. He's your father. But he wasn't there. If I wasn't there for my kids when they were sick, I'd be an absent father. I would just, instead of just, oh, here's some feelings, you know what I mean? But it doesn't add up to me.
There's a lot of questions. I totally understand that. Yeah. And I'm still working on answering those, but I don't know the answer. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I've been so disappointed in my life. I've been so disappointed with the world. I've been so disappointed.
People will disappoint you for sure. Absolutely.
I don't want to put my faith in that.
No. Well, I mean, you put your faith in your friends during the time when they were helping you.
I put my faith and my trust in me too, because I've had the courage.
Yes.
You know, for sure.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So.
And I think that's more tangible and better than putting it into an invisible person who just sends feelings. I mean, so why are you a Christian? What is it that made you believe this?
Well, I started off as a Catholic, and I
we won't tell anybody. It's okay.
I left that. There was so much shame involved in being a Catholic. Oh my goodness. I had to get rid of that. And then I feel like I was led back to my faith in all these trials.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, with your friend's influence, of course, in the scriptures they were posting for you. Very interesting. Very interesting. So that's you're raised Catholic, and then now what would you label yourself as? More Baptist, evangelical, Lutheran?
None of that.
Above. Non-denominational. Denominational.
I think so. I mean, I would say Christian. I don't like the labels of all the other denomination. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. So we're getting close to the end here, but I did have a few questions on the eternalness of where do you think you would have went if you didn't make it?
Well, I believe in heaven.
Mm-hmm. But and what is heaven to you?
A place that has no pain. A place where you're reunited with the people that you love.
Mm-hmm.
A place that is comfort.
Comfort.
Yeah.
It's comforting to think about it forever afterlife. That's happy and you get to be with your family and whatnot. But
it's
better
than thinking you're just going to be in the ground in a box.
Well, I like to live in, I like to base things in, I don't want to say reality, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? That the place I'm at, what I can see, taste, sense, you know, and from what I've seen, people go in the dirt and they turn to dirt. They die. They just, that's it. We become plant food, worm food. And it's a circle of life, the circle, you know, the whole Lion King shenanigans is true. But there's so many complications when we're believing in an eternal afterlife. There's so many things that come with it. The Bible's description of it is so vague. Number one, I mean, what happens to kids? Are they kids forever? Do they get to be teenagers when they're in heaven, midlife? I mean, what happens to like just Betty White, but Betty White did not go to heaven. I think she was an atheist, but what if Betty White got there? Is she going to be 99 the entire time she's in heaven for eternity? I don't think she wants to be 99.
I've actually thought about that because I thought about that when I was going through cancer. I was like, well, am I going to be in heaven at 41? Am I going to have hair?
Oh, hey.
I want to go back to 28 when I was a guest model.
There you go. Right.
You know? Yeah. That's definitely a confusing to me.
So many things. And the description of it is gold everywhere. I don't like gold. So like, do I have to deal with gold if I'm going to heaven? Or can I just change the color to something else? My view, I don't know. It's so confusing. There's just so many things. And then you got the opposite, which is hell, which is also an eternal place, which doesn't sound like a great idea.
That would be horrible. I don't know. I kind of equate the world that we live in to that kind of hell. Like there's so much madness, there's so much confusion, there's so much mess, there's so much pain, there's so much evil, there's so much judgment, there's so much comparison. I feel like, man, that if I had to live in like this in for eternity, man, I forget it.
Evil, you mentioned, sorry, I'm just gonna rabbit hole for a second. What? I missed that.
So much
evil. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things that happen in this world.
But even little evil. I'm not talking about just big evil.
Yeah,
you know,
the bombs. So I'm gonna go back to the flood for a second. Do you think the flood happened?
Like Noah's Ark?
Yeah.
I have never really spent much time thinking about it.
Well, probably didn't, but according to the Bible, sorry, I'm gonna die for a second. Hold on. All right, kids, get you every time. So the flood was, Yahweh did it because he was mad at people. He regret making people. There was so much evil in the world. So
right?
He sent the flood to wipe out evil, but yet, here we are.
Thousands of years,
still evil. He sent Jesus to get rid of sin, and there's still sin. It doesn't seem like he's been very effective in his dealings with sin and evil here.
Yeah, correcting us. Well, there is Revelations when it all ends. Wait,
yeah, with fire. That's it's really. Yeah. There's so much there too. You got singing animals.
A lot about the Bible.
I did read it, and then I wrote a book.
About it?
Well, just a little bit, not a whole lot, but you know, the basic things. We've got eternal housing, misrepresenting the father of lies, because the Satan stories are very interesting in the Bible. Anyways, so sent him an apology, and of course it closes out with the musical apocalypse, which is one of my favorites. But Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't add up, especially if you go with the loving father figure, the competent father figure who knows everything, who the prayer, healing, all those things. It just doesn't really seem to add up for me. For you, it does. And I guess that's just where we're going to have to leave it there for today. But I do appreciate your time coming on.
And I love that we can agree to disagree. Like that to me is a peaceful world. Like there are so many people out there, especially right now, that are these factions that are just fighting because they can't agree on anything. We don't have to agree.
Yeah.
We can be peaceful in our disagreement.
Absolutely. Just don't push your into my government to make my laws. So I have to agree with the what your beliefs. You know what I mean? So I won't do that. You won't do that. Yeah. We're on the same ground. We're good. Yeah. I appreciate your time. Where can we find your stuff?
So Christine Handy on social media, or just Google Christine Handy. My book is called Walk Beside Me on most bookstore platforms. Amazon's a good one, but it's on Kindle and all the others. So it's a good read. I like it. People like it. So
people do.
People check it out. Yeah, they do. They do. It's actually being made into a film. So
wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. Netflix or, you know.
No, like for now, it's a film. It's going to be a film. Yeah. Yeah. We'll
see.
That's
impressive.
Hopefully that'll keep going.
Well, absolutely. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing journey you've been through. You've been through a lot. I commend you. Thank you for your time today. And stay safe out there. Hope your surgery goes well as well. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. And that's all the show there is for you today. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to help keep the recording light on, simply go to patreon.com/BSW the podcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show. Your episodic tithes of $1 or more will give you access to the patron feed, unaired conversations, early access to each episode, and much more. For the latest events, BSW swag, and a peek behind the scenes, head on over to the show's ever-evolving webpage at thebiblesayswhat.com. The Bible Says What, the book is out. Head on over to thebiblesayswhat.com and get yourself and your grandma a signed copy. Thanks to the cosmic powers of the internet, it is now possible to buy me a beer or coffee online. Simply go to buymeacoffee.com/BSW the podcast and click the appropriate buttons. If you can't support the show monetarily, please like, share, and or leave a review. As always, you can find me at the Bible Says What Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Instagram pages. You can also reach me at bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And no matter which platform you use to listen to your podcasts, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss out on the next episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them? Thanks for listening.